Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on KKRN listener-supported community radio. Tonight we present two plays. The first is Session, written and directed by Chris Gomez.
Hello, Sam. You look nice.
Thank you, Dr. Esperanza. Figured if I dressed up a bit for our first session, it might make this feel more real.
Does this not feel real to you?
Meh. Nothing feels real right now. But I do know that when I have therapy, I usually go somewhere to lay on someone else's sofa. I think I should get a discount for sitting on my own couch. I'm kidding. Sorry, I find humor comforting, albeit in short supply lately. I feel like everyone else I speak to feels the same way.
Everyone is experiencing this differently. They all
no,
seem to...
No, please. I like that others feel the same way I do. It is getting me through. It's comforting to think I'm not alone.
Of course. Please, go on.
Go on with what?
Well, it sounded like you were going somewhere with that train of thought.
No.
Oh. Let's circle back to how you are feeling in a bit. How drastically has your daily routine changed because of what is going on?
Isn't how I'm feeling the whole point?
Yes, sort of. However, talking about what you face on a daily basis also helps to shine a light on the best ways for you to cope and how to treat you.
Treat me, huh? Wow, I've never felt like such a patient before.
My apologies. Was that a poor choice of words?
No. I'm just used to a different style from Dr. Vertrott.
Yes, I received your file from his office. You were his patient for years. I'm sorry about what happened to him. This must have terribly disrupted your therapy.
I hate that he went. Look, I'm an emotionally damaged person, but narcissism isn't one of my problems. I feel far worse about losing him than the fact that my sessions are different. God, someone I felt was important to me passed away. I wouldn't say it in the same tone I would if a flavor of soda I liked was discontinued.
Of course. I didn't mean to sound cavalier about that.
No, it's not your fault. I'm just touchy on that subject. Can I get back to answering your question about my daily routine?
Please.
I wake up later than I used to. I mean, what's the point, right? My commute is from my bedroom to my dining table. Lunch breaks don't do anything for me anymore. I'm eating snacks throughout the day. I've put on a few pounds since this started, by the way. I use that lunchtime to stare out my window.
Does that bring you comfort?
I keep hoping that it will, but it doesn't. I see less people on the streets, obviously. And it makes me start to wonder if the people who aren't there is because they're being safe in their homes, or because, well, you know. I only keep looking because it takes my eyes off the screen. I spend way more time on the computer than ever before.
Everyone is.
Yeah, but the only way I know my workday has ended is when I switch from the work laptop to the personal laptop.
Surely there must be a defining difference.
Yeah, the amount of adult content on the personal laptop.
I'm sorry. I don't quite understand what you mean by it.
Never mind. It was a crude joke. You obviously don't get my sense of humor.
I'm still acclimating myself to you. I'm sure I'll catch those things better the more we discuss.
Yeah, it's fine. Let's just keep going.
Yes, please continue.
My evenings are spent video calling people.
Does that bring you enjoyment?
Yeah, I mean, mostly. I genuinely feel luckier than most. I've not lost nearly the amount of people so many others have. Maybe that's because I didn't have as many to start with. I used to always like to say quality over quantity. Now I'm not as sure as before. I would really like to have more people to talk to.
Conversation with friends and family is important.
Yeah, well, I live alone. I miss real interaction. I want to touch a friend's shoulder when we're laughing. I want to hug. Hell, I want to look someone in the damn eye. Do you realize that when we're video chatting, we don't look into each other's eyes? Ever?
I was unaware. I guess I never gave it much thought.
Yeah, well, I sure as hell have. It's weird. The things that you miss that make you feel human. Like knowing you're standing too close to someone because you can smell their breath. How about taking a sip from a friend's drink to see if you want to order one too? God, the thought of that now nearly throws me into a panic attack.
Are you experiencing a panic attack?
No, you're missing the point. The things that used to be selling points of living alone are now starting to be really annoying. You can't really clink a freaking glass with someone on a damn computer screen. Jeez, I used to love to go shopping. Now I'm out as late as I can be for as short amount of time as I can be, just to avoid the most people. Not like I would want to be seen anyway. Mask, gloves, face screens. I would go out in a giant hamster ball if I could.
Most people find a silver lining, so to speak. Something that is a positive attribute to a bad situation.
I know what a silver lining is.
Do you have a positive attribute to ease your bad situation?
No.
That was a quick reply.
I've had a lot of time to think about it. And trust me, I've tried to come up with some. It just isn't happening. I've heard that others were using this as a way to finally read books that they never had time to read before. Or they were attempting to write the next novel to take the world by storm. Everyone thought they had the next Harry Potter in their minds just waiting to commit to paper. I'd be willing to bet that when this is all over, the only thing we will have a surplus of is enough fan fiction to recite till the end of time. The only way any of it will be a bestseller is if they printed your tome on toilet paper.
Did you run out of toilet paper?
Please don't ask me that. I'm making do. By the way, I know what I said earlier about wanting more people to talk to, but whomever hoarded the essentials, I don't want to know them.
Fair enough.
But I have not done anything with my time. I've barely watched any new movies. I've mostly used the time to binge shows I've watched a ton of times before. The Office, Friends, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Those are all sitcoms.
Yeah. I want to watch things to make me feel better.
So, no Walking Dead?
Well, I'm learning what you think is funny. Actually, that is darker humor than I would have expected. Kudos. But no. I want lighthearted. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. That's the perfect mix of everything I need right now. Do you watch much TV?
Can't say that I do.
Can I recommend something for you?
I wouldn't mind that. I'm always looking for something entertaining.
Westworld.
Oh?
Yeah. I think it would be right up your alley.
Really? Why?
Call it a hunch. I can tell people's taste in entertainment just with small interactions. It's a gift. I've always been able to do that.
Thank you for the recommendation. Should we get back to how you're feeling?
Okay.
Good. Well, how are you feeling?
Like crap.
Care to elaborate?
Wow, you're good. I was just going to leave it at like crap, but you really know how to dig. If I'm being honest with you, and really, why shouldn't I be? I'm scared and anxious.
About what specifically?
The things everyone else is feeling that way about. It's normal, you know. My feelings are completely what should be expected at a time like this, under these circumstances.
Absolutely. I never claimed otherwise.
I don't like this isolation. There's a reason that prisoners receive solitary confinement as a harsh form of punishment. I didn't do anything to deserve this. This doesn't feel fair.
It could be argued that no one asked for this or did anything to deserve this. Fair isn't really relevant in this case, is it?
That's comforting. Way to make me feel selfish. Thanks for that.
Your feelings are valid, but rationale should be a factor.
I have this weird logic problem.
How so?
The thing that is giving me hope is also the thing that's giving me the most anxiety.
That does sound problematic. Please tell me more.
I've been getting through this, continuing day after day, with the thought that at some point this will all be over. That things, life, everything, will go back to normal. Back to the way they were before this virus came along.
That does not seem so bad.
But then the messed up part happens. This is the part that brings on the anxiety. What if it does?
Don't you mean what if it doesn't?
No. What if it does? What if it goes back to normal and then something bigger comes along? What if the next time there is never a point that we can look forward to? What if what is happening now becomes the new normal permanently? I can't live like this forever. I'm making it through on the promise that it will all be over soon, that we get to go back to how we were. What's worse, what if we don't this time? Didn't think I would break you that quick.
I'm just trying to come up with the best way to respond. That is a lot to process.
I'm sure that doesn't give you anxiety the way it does me.
No, but I can't be expected to handle things the same way you do, and vice versa. You are not wrong to feel the anxiety you experience when thinking of those scenarios. Try to remember that there are so many events happening in the world that are out of your control. I would suggest focusing on the aspects you can control. When you are able to take control of the parts of your life that seem to slip from your grasp, a sense of balance and stability will slowly emerge to subdue the anxious feelings that is bringing negativity into your world.
I want an answer to what I should do if we never go back to normal.
I'm afraid I don't have that, so I cannot give you that answer.
What if I no longer feel safe at home?
Being home is currently the safest option. We need to discover why you no longer feel safe at home.
What if I no longer feel safe in my own head?
You are not your own enemy. Your outlook will improve with some work. Talking out your problems will help.
I don't think it will.
Discussion of your problems will help.
I really don't feel it will.
I'm here for you. I want to help.
Well, thanks a whole hell of a lot for that help.
Let's reset a bit. I would suggest taking one day at a time. Plan for the immediate future. Set expectations for tonight. Maybe tomorrow, the weekend maybe.
Oh, I didn't tell you. I have plans for tonight.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm having a staring contest with the person in the bathroom mirror. I've done that every night this week. Spoiler alert, they have all ended in ties. But who knows, maybe tonight might be my lucky night. Still not getting my humor, huh? That's okay.
Would you like to tell me about your family?
No.
But I think it would help.
Listen, I don't want to discuss how I'm the last one left. The virus got my only sibling and my mother. I never met my father, though odds are that it got him too.
Would you like to discuss father abandonment issues?
Oh, God, no. I really only want help dealing with how to continue going on with what I'm trying to pass off as my life while the world around me crumbles. I dealt with daddy problems long ago.
Continue going on.
Yeah. Do you not understand what I'm implying?
No.
God, you are really some piece of work.
Am I upsetting you?
Upset? No. Angering me? Yeah. I want reasons. I need answers. And I'm not getting that from you. I want to know why so many people around me with so much more to live for are now gone. Why the few left are needing to go on without them. Why the hell I'm still here when I had so little left to make being here worth anything. I don't want to be here anymore. If we never come back from this, if normal no longer exists and never will again, why should I stay? I keep hearing the Tracy Chapman lyric, "Give me one reason to stay here and I'll turn right back around." But I haven't been given that reason. Depression is all I have. Bleak feelings is all that I have. I just want a hug. Someone to hold me and say everything is going to be okay. I can't have that. I want that so freaking much that I'm getting desperate. Desperate enough to reach out to you is my only option. And let me tell you, no offense, you're not being nearly as comforting as I'd hoped you'd be.
I'm sorry.
Don't interrupt me. You were my last-ditch effort to pull me out of this. You were supposed to make the pain go away. You were supposed to put me at ease. I'm doing all the damn work. It's like I'm talking to myself, and let me tell you, I'm not in a place to pull myself up by my bootstraps and hang in there, buckaroo. I'm the last damn person who should be helping me.
I really feel that you should
stop. Just I saw the commercial for your services so many times during the news. The news that does nothing but feed into my fear, anxiety, paranoia. I would feel so much better if I thought the future held any light at the end of this tunnel for me or for anyone else, but I don't. I have no faith in our leadership. Hell, come to think of it, I also don't feel I have faith in anything, including faith itself. I now know your service is a joke. It's pointless.
I know that you are facing a lot while living in this...
Oh, shut up! You know nothing about living, about me, about anything. You can't relate to me at all. And you can't help me at all. Tell me, were you able to really understand my needs from the file you got transferred from my last doctor?
I was able to complete an extensive profile of your needs based on the analysis I received.
Oh, is that so? So how do you plan to respond to me now that I'm telling you, screw you?
I understand that you are feeling overwhelmed and that we can work through this time of turmoil and personal conflict for you.
No. No, I don't believe you can. I'm done.
Please clarify your meaning with what you just said.
No, I will not.
Why not?
Because I cannot. I do not know my own meaning. All I know is I'm done. I will be ending my session now.
I think we need to continue.
I respectfully disagree. Thank you. And I'm sorry to have wasted your time.
Thank you for using Dr. AI. During this time of increased need for medical attention and decreased availability of on-site medical professionals, we are happy to provide you with the most advanced artificial intelligence as an option for your medical care needs. We hope this session has left you feeling well on your way to improved health. This session has been billed by sending a claim to your health insurance provider. As a way to help, there is no co-payment required for our services. Please use our online appointment portal to schedule any follow-up appointments. You can even send reminders directly to your calendar. If you have a moment, please take our quick survey so we know how to better serve your needs. Thank you again for choosing Dr. AI for your medical needs, and have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Session, written and directed by Chris Gomez. Our cast included Monica Hicks and John Welsh. Technical production on our play is by Lily Dubois. Our second play is Search for Truth, My Son, My Yeti, written by Melinda Kashuba, a local writer who teaches at Shasta College.
Greetings, fellow lovers of truth and fearless questers of knowledge. You, the open-minded and open-hearted, have found your radio family, the only place where you can share with the world that rare, one-time experience you've had, but kept to yourself for fear of being verbally pummeled by those who might doubt and ridicule your story. We welcome the misunderstood here at the Tanner Hyde Show. I'm Tanner Hyde, your host, bringing you the most intriguing tales of the unknown. Elizabeth, my sweet sibyl of scientific endeavor and lovely producer, have you queued up our caller this evening? Elizabeth? Elizabeth? Well, Elizabeth isn't answering at the moment. Sometimes she is overcome with gratitude for the opportunity to bring to you, wonderful listeners, the search for truth, as she needs to visit the powder room and compose herself. I see a red light blinking on my console indicating that we have a caller on the line. This is Tanner Hyde. Who am I speaking with this evening?
Am I on the radio? I can't hear you.
Caller, turn down your radio, please. There's a 6-second broadcast delay. The FCC and the station managers don't want any F-bombs over the air.
F-bombs? Well, I don't know anything about war.
Never mind, ma'am. Do you have a Sasquatch tale? Elizabeth, my producer, said you do. Let's start with your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, sir, I do. My name is Geraldine Blovis. My friends call me Jerry. I'm calling from Hayfork. I want to tell you about my son. He died last year, and I think it's time to tell a story.
I'm sorry for your loss. Did you see a Sasquatch out there in the neck of the woods?
Oh, no. My son was one.
Jerry, could you repeat that? The phone connection went all staticky for a moment. I thought you said that your son was a Sasquatch.
You heard right. He was.
Jerry, you're going to have to explain that. I don't want to be indelicate here. Did you and one of the hairy men, get it on?
That's disgusting! I'm a married woman, married forever and a day to Jonah. He's listening to the radio in the other room right now. Jonah, this guy's a lunatic! No, I don't want to hang up. I want to tell your audience about Ricky. It's time the truth came out.
Well, you called into the right show. We're all about the search for truth. Caller, I didn't mean to imply.
Ricky was our adopted son. We found him one day while we were out picking mushrooms along Olson Creek. He was a little tyke sheltered under a lean-to made of sticks just above the creek.
You found a baby Bigfoot.
He was mewing like a little kitten, hairy all over and dirty, lying on the ground. When he saw us, he went real quiet and still, like a fawn. I can still see those big eyes looking at me, half scared, half wondering. Made me shiver down to my toes. He turned on his side and scooted to the back of the stick pile, but we could see him. I could just see a gash on his back like some critter slashed him.
My God, he was injured. Weren't you afraid that his mother, his parents, could be nearby?
Well, that thought crossed my mind, but the little guy was hurt. I crawled into the shelter and reached out my hand towards him. He turned and started to grunt at me like a pig, but the poor little guy was so weak he stopped and just looked at me, real sad-like. I think he was dying. Maybe his parents abandoned him there. Wait, what'd you say, Jonah? Yeah, I'll tell him. Jonah wants you to know that Ricky stunk like a sack of polecats. When we brought him home, I about drowned him in tomato juice to rinse off that stench. Eventually, it went away. His wound healed and the hair grew right back over it.
My gosh. Audience, do we have a story tonight. Jerry, do you have any pictures of him when you found him?
Sadly, no. Most of all Ricky's baby pictures were lost when our roof leaked into the attic one winter. Heartbreaking. Lost it all. I miss my boy. He was 59 when he died. A mother couldn't ask for a better son. He was such a success.
Jerry, can you tell the listeners about what it was like to raise Ricky? Did his hairy appearance throw people?
It did. He was covered head to foot in brown fur. As he got older, it turned a little reddish on the ends as it grew out. He had the cutest little black button nose. Yes, he was teased horribly on the first day of kindergarten. The teacher called him a monkey, and he never went back to public school. We homeschooled him.
That's shocking. To think that a teacher of young minds could treat a young, hairy child in such a despicable manner. Jerry, you said that he became a success. What did he do for a living?
Oh, he was an entertainer. Jonah thought he might do well in a circus. Circus people are the most accepting folks you'll ever meet. You know, the lobster-clawed man, the dog-faced woman who weighs half a ton.
Ricky was in a... Now, not my words, you understand. Tanner Hyde isn't one to exploit or look down upon anyone for their appearance or what planet they are from. My regular listeners know this, Jerry. Are you saying that you put Ricky in a freak show?
Well, I guess some people might call it that. He was what you might call hirsute advantaged. He could make a decent living in a supportive environment. He wore clothes, never naked. He posed for pictures with visitors. The circus charged $30 per photo. He was a real moneymaker there for a while.
You're kidding me. Sounds like something right out of Barnum and Bailey.
It was. They gave him room and board, and he got to travel all over the U.S. and even went to Japan once. It gave him some independence, some walk-around money. That's how he was discovered by Georgie. Everything changed after Ricky met Georgie.
Georgie?
Oh, Ricky met Georgie in Modesto. Georgie Lucas grew up in Modesto, you know.
Wait, what? You mean George Lucas, the director of Star Wars?
I believe that's Georgie's name.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is incredible. Ricky met George Lucas. I tell you, don't I bring the best stories to you on the airwaves. Please, Jerry, go on. What happened next?
Georgie was working on this experimental film, and he wanted a character that could fly a spaceship and fight like a pirate. The character came from some planet called Kashyyyk. Ricky said the name sounded a lot like the sound a cat made when it coughed up hairball.
Okay. So what did Ricky do in this movie besides pilot a spaceship? Did he talk?
No, that was a disappointment. Ricky had a real ear for language. He spoke Spanish and Japanese real good. In the movie, Ricky mostly made these groaning and shouting noises. In the movie, his sidekick could understand his language, but nobody else could. To me, it sounded a lot like his native Sasquatch. That part was easy for him. He got paid pretty well for the work. Hardly needed any makeup, but he wasn't completely happy.
Why was he upset?
Well, he was embarrassed. He didn't wear any clothing in the movie. Georgie wanted him to appear all natural. Well, except for a bandolier of bullets that was slung over one shoulder.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that Ricky played Chewbacca?
I think that was the character's name. It's been so long since I saw the movie. We have them all on VHS.
How can that be?
Well, Ricky mailed him to us. Such a kind son. In fact, he bought this new house for us here in Hayfork after he invested some of the money in the stock market.
No, wait, that's not what I meant. I'm Googling Chewbacca right now. Wikipedia says the character was played by at least two actors, Mayhew and Sodomo. I don't see Ricky Blovis's name.
Oh, Ricky only played in the first movie. He had a secret contract with Georgie, but Georgie did right by him, knowing the full background of Ricky. He felt sorry for Ricky and kept the secret of his heritage. Georgie gave him rights to all the dolls and Legos that featured Chewbacca's character. Ricky made a lot of money that way. Syndication, I think they call it.
You mean Chewbacca?
That's right, what you said.
Chewie, I mean, Ricky is dead, you said?
That's right. Skin cancer. Couldn't see that dreadful mole under all that fur until it grew the size of a grapefruit. Ricky preferred solitude. He lived on some land up near Willow Creek Town and tried to reunite with his kin.
Did that happen?
Jonah thinks it did once or twice. Ricky wouldn't talk to me about it directly. I was his ma, and he didn't want to hurt my feelings.
We are coming to the end of our hour. Do you think that Jonah would come on the show next week and be interviewed? I'd like to hear his point of view, since it sounds like Ricky shared some things with him.
Oh, I can ask. Jonah, you want to be on the radio next week? He says he can't. Conflicts with the bowling championships on ESPN2. Why don't we give you a call when he's free?
Elizabeth could get in touch with you next. Well, listeners, that was quite the story Jerry shared with us. I hope that if Jonah is still listening, he will pick up the phone when Elizabeth calls next week and schedule an interview for our show. I strive to bring you quality guests like Jerry and Jonah, whose poignant story of how they raised a humble Sasquatch to grow up and star in one of America's best-loved movie institutions, Star Wars. You heard it here first, folks. Until next time, may your search for the truth continue.
You have been listening to Search for Truth, My Son, My Yeti, written by Melinda Kashuba and directed by Chris Gomez. Our cast included Chris Gomez and Jen Gomez. Technical production on our play, as on all our plays, is by Lily Dubois. We hope you enjoyed tonight's performances. Scratched Up Radio Theater thanks you for listening. If you would like to comment on what you have heard tonight, please email us at scratchedup@kkrn.org. We would love to hear from you. KKRN Community Radio is a listener-supported, all-volunteer station. We rely on donations from our listeners to pay the bills, especially during the pandemic when we cannot hold our several yearly fundraising events. Please consider a donation now to help keep us on the air. Go to kkrn.org and click on the donate button. Or, if you prefer the old-fashioned method, send us a check at KKRN P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96084. This is your host, Dickie Magadoff. Good night, and thanks for listening to Scratched Up Radio Theater.